good.
Yes.
What's going on, folks? We're back. Mike's Pod. Moo and Q.
Moo and Q. We have a special guest today.
Yes, we got a special guest today. But before we do that, make sure you subscribe, like, and comment. Holla at your boys. Let us know what you think about the show. Thank you for all the support. Shout out to Manscaped. Remember, if you order for Manscaped, use the code MOO2Q.
Get 25% off during Manscaped.com Black Friday and Cyber Monday sale. And save on all Manscaped products like all-in-one grooming kits, skin-safe trimmers, and great-smelling formulations. Manscaped.com is the leading men's grooming in the world, Craig, not just the city, but the world. Go get your Rolex of men's grooming this Friday and Monday. Go to Manscaped.com to get 25% off site-wide and free shipping. So that means they'll send it to you wherever you are in the world. Go get it now, Friday and Monday. That's the best time to get it.
But yeah, let me introduce everybody.
Yes, brother.
Introduce everybody to the British General Consulate for Saudi Arabia.
Yes, our brother Saif.
Yes. Saif is welcome, in the house.
Brother. Welcome.
Welcome. Salaam alaikum, brothers. How are you?
Alaikum salam. How are you doing? Salam.
We're fine, alhamdulillah. Thanks for your patience.
You're currently in Jeddah, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Over in Jeddah.
Nice. You know what's interesting, man? What's interesting? I came across this picture a couple of days ago, maybe about a week now.
And, in Medina, right?
He was in Medina. Yeah. And I posted it on my social media. Yeah,
that's where I saw it. Okay, I saw it on your Instagram. Okay, I was like,
I posted it on my Instagram and I was just amazed. And I'm thinking he's a new convert to the religion of Islam. And somebody was saying, no, he's been Muslim for 25 years.
25 years, wow.
Amazing. So if you don't mind, brother, can we go into how you converted to the religion of Islam?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. Delighted to talk about that, of course.
Yes.
So tell us, how did it happen? Like, did you convert to Islam before you came here, or was it after you got here?
Yeah, I mean, long time ago. I mean, I'm sorry, listen, first, thanks so much for tweeting out that picture of me in Medina. I mean, I go to Medina fairly regularly and for work. And what I always try and do is I try and arrive in Medina maybe like 4 a.m. on the early morning flight and go and pray Fajr in the Prophet's Mosque, which is wonderful experience. But this time, a lot of people just picked up on me. Maybe it's because I'm wearing a suit and I'm stood in front of the mosque. Yes. They said, hey, this guy has just converted. which was like, well, thanks. But no, it's like 25 years back.
Amazing.
So, I mean, the basic story is, so I'm a diplomat, a British diplomat, and I spent most of my career around the Middle East. But I started off in Sudan, in Khartoum, in the early 90s. And it was during that time when, I mean, really for me, it was a kind of a spiritual reawakening.
Yes.
I've been brought up as a good Catholic boy, but you know, like many, you know, in your teens, you drift away from it, you lose connection, or you know, it doesn't quite fit.
Yes.
But being in Sudan and really spending time amongst people there who are really spiritual, you know, faith means everything to how people live and society. It binds everybody together. And it's just a hugely impressive experience. So for me, it was kind of getting back on a spiritual path that actually felt a lot more comfortable, that was right for me, if you know what I'm saying. It just felt like you're in the right place. And alhamdulillah, really. I mean, since then, it's been terrific for me.
MashaAllah. Alhamdulillah.
Wow.
Yeah, I never got a chance to visit Sudan, but I heard the Sudani people in general, it's super generous.
Yeah,
it's super
Sudanese
nice.
People,
the Sudanese people.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm sure you experienced some because we come from America and these Western countries and the UK and Britain and to Saudi, and we love this generosity, this hospitality. And they say Sudan is even, they compete with Saudi with their generosity.
No, wow. Really?
Yes.
Shout out to Sudan.
Big shout out to Sudan. I mean, I have to say that because my wife is also Sudanese. So
amazing.
Oh, wow.
If you guys don't shout out now to Sudan, please, I'll be in trouble.
Well, I think we just saved it then. We saved you from going into the doghouse.
Sure.
So you have kids? Do you have children?
Yeah, we do, mashallah. We've... So we've had five kids over the years. So our eldest is 24. We've got three boys. And we got a couple of daughters, the younger ones, who are with us here in Jeddah. They go to school here. So, yeah, I mean, they've had a... We've been here 3 years. So living in Jeddah, it's a great experience. You know, it's the it's the culture, it's the people, it's the faith, as we're talking about. And it's just a warm, open, engaging society. You know, there's there's that respect and friendliness and openness that's it's terrific. I mean, genuinely, and it's
amazing.
Being close to Mecca as well. I mean, we're an hour away from Mecca,
that's
so being able to go and perform Umrah or visit Medina, you know, it's very special.
Amazing, amazing.
Your kids are pretty popular amongst the Saudi crowd because they're Sudish, right? Get it, Sudish. Saudi British or Sudan British, Sudish.
Forgive my corny co-host.
Are you speaking, you back on the Korean again? I don't know.
Oh, it's amazing though. You know, just the diversity of the religion of Islam and Q get to see this. Q, he's not Muslim, but you know, he's been living in Saudi Arabia also for 3 years.
Yeah.
And he mentioned how before he moved to Saudi Arabia, due to the, you know, the media doesn't portray Islam in its genuine, true way. And Q had, he was afraid to come to Saudi. He had some fear. But when he actually moved here and he actually was able to, you know, intertwine with the people and meet the people, what changed you, Q? It changed your mind, right?
Yeah, it absolutely your did. Thoughts, and now I love mindset. It. And that's why now we always talk about it and we always try to promote.
Yes,
we try to tell our viewers all over the world, don't be scared.
Yes, it's actually
a lot safer. It's actually easier living here than it is living in the streets in California.
Wow.
You know, I don't have to worry about getting shot at, you know, getting stabbed.
Because a true Muslim, the last thing we want to do is hurt another individual.
Exactly.
Even an animal, even an insect.
Yeah.
You know, our religion teaches that all of these, they have rights over us. You know, so you get to see it.
Like, I was shocked. I mean, I was still getting used to it, and I was shocked because I'll be watching Muta's, you know, stories, and he went into the store and left his bike there, and I started yelling at him, like, yo, you gotta lock up your bike, it's gonna get stolen. He's like, no, this is Saudi Arabia.
I told him, bro, chill, you in Saudi.
Because in California, as soon as he turns his back and he sneezes and he looks over, the bike's gone.
Real talk. You know, can I ask you something, brother Saif? Have you experienced anything here in Saudi Arabia that just left you in awe? Like something where you was like, you know what? This is amazing. I can't believe this happening. Like, I would tell you a story for me. When I first moved to Saudi Arabia, the generosity of the people, of course, was unmatched. I didn't face anything like that. But my first summer, I went back to America and I left my keys with my downstairs neighbor, Fahad. He's originally from Qassim. So I left my keys because I didn't have any extra copies. You know how things happen in Saudi. I said, in case it's a flood or anything happened in my apartment upstairs, check on it for me. So 2 months later, I come back to Saudi Arabia. This is when the Blackberries was out.
Yeah.
So I'm sending them these BBM messages saying I land at this time. You know, the flight from LA to Saudi Arabia is about 17 hours.
Yeah, it's about 16
hours. So I'm like, I'm going to be exhausted. I land about 11 o'clock at night with my wife and my small kids. So please have my keys ready.
Yeah.
So I land and I catch a taxi and I go to my house and I'm ringing. I'm calling him. He's not answering. I'm sending him BBM messages. He's not answering. Now I'm in the streets. And I'm new to Saudi Arabia. I've been living in Saudi for 11 years. So this is 11 years ago.
Yeah.
So I'm upset. I'm like, I can't believe this guy. How incompassionate can he be? Inconsiderate can he be? He know I'm with my wife and my kid. I'm thinking all this stuff. Something told me after maybe standing outside for 30 minutes to ring my doorbell. So I started ringing my doorbell, my neighbor's doorbell, anybody hoping I can get someone to open the door. Yeah. So when I ring my doorbell, my neighbor, Fahad, he comes down from my apartment. And I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, I knew you had a long flight. He was upstairs with his wife and his maid cleaning my house. They had Arabic coffee waiting for me. They had dinner waiting for me. I couldn't believe this. I said, man, I'm thinking
you feel like a jerk now, huh?
I feel like a jerk, of course. I'm like, I'm out here thinking the worst. And you were upstairs cleaning my house with your wife and your maid and had food waiting. So these type of things just blew my mind. And I still cannot get used to them to this day, you know? So I'm sure you have some experiences.
You're right. You know, I mean, you can talk about that kind of individual people to people experience and the warmth, and which is just natural. I mean, it's not only in Saudi Arabia, it's in many parts of the Middle East, and this tradition of hospitality, yes, and warmth and friendliness is essential. And certainly Islam is woven into that because it's so integral to how the society functions here in the kingdom. But yeah, you're right. I mean, for example, I mean, my role and the role of my team here at the consulate in Jeddah, a big part of it is taking care of British Muslims who come out to the kingdom to perform Umrah and Hajj.
Okay.
And obviously COVID's changed everything over the past year and a half or so.
Yes.
But certainly I remember in Hajj 2019, I was able to go out and visit the 25,000 or so British Muslims who were out in Mina getting ready to perform Hajj over a few days. Mm-hmm. And what was amazing was talking to these guys about their experience of coming out to the kingdom, which for many of them was just overwhelming. It's the first time to do Hajj. It's an incredibly personal, spiritual experience. Mm-hmm. What really blew them away was the way in which Saudis were welcoming them. You know, they talk about Diyuf al-Rahman, the guests of Allah, the guests of God. Mm-hmm. And it's the duty to take care of pilgrims. So that sense of being taken care of, being guided, the blessings from doing that and sharing that experience of the pilgrims is fundamental to the traditions that we're talking about around pilgrimage. So for me, it was just like amazing. I couldn't really try and imagine that kind of welcome and that kind of sense of duty that we'd see in other countries. So it's a very, very special place for Muslims, of course.
Amazing. Like you said, it's something that you will find in probably majority, if not all, Muslim countries, where this is something that is woven within a society and a culture, hospitality, because even the Prophet Muhammad, he said, whoever believe in Allah on the last day, he must take care of his guests. He must honor his guests. So this is part of our faith, So it's an amazing reminder. We trying to get Q soon to join us.
He's trying hard. But there's some things I do. He's like, you might as well be a Muslim,
But that's, we welcome everyone, There's no compulsion in religion, We don't force them. We welcome everyone, man. And we really do appreciate you giving us your time. And we hope when you come to Riyadh, we can hopefully have you as a guest. You could come into the studio and then we can show you some of our American hospitality.
Yeah.
It's famous, guys. I'd love to. Inshallah, I might be in Riyadh over next week. So I'll give you a call.
Make sure you Amazing. Do. Now, please. The current situation that's going on, what happened in Liverpool? I know you know what I'm talking about now. The suicide bombing attempt that happened at the Liverpool Women's Hospital. Is that right?
Yeah, it's in central Liverpool.
And
that
taxi driver,
alhamdulillah,
he knew what that guy was up to and locked the doors and had him employ the bomb inside the taxi. So, but what's fun? What's blessing is that cab driver was able to walk out unharmed.
Yeah. Wow.
Of course, the suicide bomber died, but
I didn't even hear about the story.
But if he didn't do that, then he would have employed that bomb inside that women's hospital, and who knows how many people would have got hurt.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Very.
Do we know the motives for that guy yet? I mean, I believe they said it was an Indian or Pakistani type person.
Wow.
I really don't know beyond the newspaper headlines that have been out there. But amazing quick thinking from the taxi driver that saved his own life and no doubt many others. The actions of an individual, as we all know, can be horrific. But in this case, thank God there was no further injuries. But
thank God.
We live in crazy times.
Yeah,
definitely. Even in some crazy.
So is I know they raised the threat level up in England right now because of that situation. Is it like that here? As you guys being British nationals living in Saudi Arabia, raised the threat level in England?
That's
UK. Does that affect you guys here?
Well, I mean, that particular instance, that's specific to the UK. For us here in the kingdom or in other countries around the world, what we try and do as diplomats is be very explicit in what the risk side of British nationals. I mean, that's our priority. So yes. We run a system, and the Americans do as well, of what we call travel advice. So for every country mm-hmm. around the world, there's something called FCDO. Yeah, so it's my department, Foreign Commonwealth and Development Office, travel advice. Mm-hmm. So people can go online, type in Saudi Arabia, for example, and they get a full brief about the situation, the issues, you know, everything that help them be safe when they travel internationally. So we're very aware of this, you know, and really it's central to our work to make sure the British nationals overseas are safe.
Yeah. But that's something amazing how, well, you see, the thing with me was I found out about that through another person who told me what happened in Liverpool. Mm. I don't like to watch the news, and I was worried about this. I was worried that, so when I actually looked up the news on that,
yes,
I was worried that the first thing they're going to say is, oh, it was an Islam attack, you know, like, because that's what they're portraying Islam as.
Yes.
That's what I knew it as before I got here. And that's why, like he was saying, I was afraid to come to Saudi Arabia in the beginning, because, you know, that's all we hear about Islam is the extreme Islams.
And these people don't represent the Muslims. You know, I'm sure our brother Saif, he's been Muslim for 25 years. He can
surprisingly on the news, they didn't say it was an Islam attack. They just said it was an Indian Pakistani. They don't know the motives. Usually they jump to conclusions.
Because terrorism has no religion. Yeah. You know, just sick individuals with, you know, different, they just sick individuals.
Well, in reality, terrorism has no religion.
Yes.
But in the media, terrorism is stamped as Islam. Mm,
yes.
And that's one thing that I'm glad that I woke up
to come and see yourself by living amongst the Muslims, you know. And I tell people that a lot, you know, before Islam, Brother Saif, I live pretty much of a so-called tough life, you know, where I had to carry a gun every single day. You know, I had an attitude where
you can't walk down the street safe. You always have to look behind your back.
And also, I didn't mind, or I was quick to get into a fight. I was quick to try to harm an individual. But the religion of Islam is what changed my way of thinking, you know, that.
Yeah.
You know, we cannot go around with this type of mentality where you can harm someone else and think that there's no, you might not get retribution in this life, but in the next life.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So Islam is what saved me from a violent life, because Islam is truly, you know, we hear people say it all the time, and they say, well, you say Islam is peaceful, but then we hear these people doing this in the religion of Islam. This is because they have no understanding of the religion of Islam. You know, if you have an understanding of the religion of Islam, you will feel afraid to even step on an ant. Mm-hmm. Let alone another human, or harm the soul of another human. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, no, I agree. Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's, you know, people can twist religion to suit any of their own political, personal, or insane goals. You know, and history is littered with such examples. But when it comes to the basic tenets of Islam and submission, it's clear that this is a peaceful religion.
True.
But ultimately, you know, we're all on our own path, all on our own journey. We all have to take our own decisions about how we're going to live our lives.
Absolutely.
And, you know, whichever path we're on, certainly I believe we're all ultimately going to the same destination.
Mm-hmm,
but we want to make sure that we're living our life in the right way.
Definitely.
And whether it's Islam or whether it's other faiths, that can guide you on that path to live the right way in life has to be correct. And that cannot be violence. It cannot be with hatred. It cannot be with intolerance. These are nothing to do with any faiths. And it's important that we're clear that what faith is about. It's about faith. It's about respect for yourself and other people.
Yes.
Nice.
Yes. Definitely.
Yes, yes. So, This is off the topic or any major issue. How'd you meet your wife from Sudan? Like, did you meet her here?
Man, his name is Saif.
In England?
She'll kill me for saying this. We met at a party. In Khartoum. And believe me, in the mid-90s, there were not many parties in Khartoum.
E-party, alhamdulillah.
It was more one of those chance encounters as so often in life, these moments that change your life come along. So
I currently have a friend in Khartoum right now.
Amazing.
Yeah, she's getting her degree in nutritionist. Amazing. And This is the first time I've ever seen this. She's a Sudapino. She's half Sudanese, half Filipino.
Wow.
Is that a thing?
No, I made that up. But no, but I mean, not the fact that she's half Sudanese, half Filipino. I made the Sudapino part.
Sudapino thing.
Yeah, I like to do that. I like mixed people who are have more than one nationalities, and I like to.
So what about me? I'm African American, Puerto Rican, and Cuban.
After you show me your British DNA test,
I got British DNA. I have African DNA, Irish DNA. Native American DNA, Taino tribe. Everywhere. I'm mixed with that. I'm a cocktail, bro.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty about life, that we all have more common than, you know what I mean, than differences. You know what I mean? We all related. Yeah. We all go back to Adam and Eve at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You know?
I think what you guys are doing, you know, is living in a different country, a different culture, embracing that. And really what I've always found moving around the world is it opens your horizons. It brings you an understanding of other people and other cultures. And it just, you know, it kind of reinforces, I think, the good things about us as human beings, and that we can understand the other guy and his perspective. And it just, it should do. It just kind of calms us down a bit. You know, we have that wider understanding. Moving around is good. You know, I'd say this to my kids.
I agree with you.
And we've dragged them around the world for years. but we say, look, you know, you learn from that. You know, your eyes are open more than if you're just stuck in one small town in back home in the UK or something. Yeah. So it's a good thing.
It's a good thing.
Now, you being the general consulate, did I say that right? General consulate. Is it a consulate general or general consulate?
General consul.
You're nearly there. So I'm the British consul general.
See, that's what I mean. Like, did I get it right? Okay.
British consulate general.
Sorry, yeah, you're close. In Korean, that's what that means. So the way I said in Korean, that's why. No, but with that, you got some power, right? Because I have a bone to pick with Heathrow Airport.
Oh, man.
You know I had to bring it up. We recently had an incident with Heathrow Airport. I love England. when we had the layover there,
coming into something.
Yeah, I'm shocked. I had nothing to do with this.
No, when we had the layover in England, that was the second time I was there. Last time I was there was for the Queen's 20th Jubilee. I was actually stationed. I'm ex-military, and I was actually stationed in Germany, and we didn't know what to do for that weekend. So we're like, hey, let's go to England, and it just so happens to be the 20th Jubilee for the Queen. So it was amazing. You know, I had a great experience and I loved it. This time around, we had a layover there. It was supposed to be a transfer. When we went to Madrid on our way back, it was only supposed to be like a two-hour transfer, transit. But because we got the wrong test in Madrid, Saudi wouldn't let us fly here. And we had to stay a day late. And then, so we came back, our bags wasn't on the flight the next day when it came back. So it stayed in England. Yeah, I think you see his face. He knows what I'm talking about now. My bags got stuck there an extra day. Now, I had these shoes that was gifted to me from someone very high in LA. And I'll probably never be able to receive a gift from her like this again. But it was gifted to me. I didn't even know how much it cost at the time either. I just know that they're expensive, but I didn't think they're going to be this expensive, you know?
60,000 reals.
80,000 reals.
80,000 reals
for these pair of shoes. But I usually put in my carry-on, but I have my camera equipment in there too. So I was like, let's see, my camera or these shoes? I should have picked the shoes because the shoes are more expensive than camera. Yes. But I put the shoes in my checked baggage and I never locked it. The over 30 plus years that I've been traveling.
Wow.
I never locked up my bags or wrapped it or nothing like that. And nothing has ever happened like this before.
Wow.
So when we finally received it here in Saudi Arabia, I opened up the bag and everything fell out when it shouldn't have. And right away, I already knew they stole my shoes. They didn't steal all my shoes. Oh, they just stole that pair.
No.
And I just realized they stole. I bought a brand new cologne.
And that was missing too.
That you can't find here.
Wow.
And I didn't realize I was so heartached about the shoes that I didn't even realize that the cologne's out there. And then after like a week later, I realized, wait a minute, I bought cologne. Where's that at? Wow, and I noticed they took that too. And so I remember when I came back from the airport, I told him what happened, and he was like, "Oh, we need to text we need to hit up Heathrow." And I was like, "No, just let it go."
They tried though; they did respond to us, and they tried.
But then they tried to throw it off on the airline.
They said, "Airline, you know these things happen."
It took 2 weeks for them to reply back. They said they'll look into it. I gave him. They asked for all my information, my flight itinerary, and all that, and I gave it to him. What the color of the bag was, what my suitcase looked
but
like.
Them things are gone. No, yeah, he would make it back. Don't worry.
I get it. There's no way I could get those.
We
shit
have
back.
Something as Muslims. We say Qadar Allah. This from the decree of God.
But one thing, it's not only about my shoes. One thing I noticed is that when we posted it on our social media,
yes,
the amount of response we got was. The same situation. Oh yeah, I had this stolen too. Oh yeah, Heathrow's bad to go.
Yeah,
they always steal in Heathrow.
I honestly believe in every airport around the world, it can happen.
Yeah, but Heathrow for me is like the Compton of airports now. It's like the Juarez of airports.
We got the British. We got the council online.
That's why when he told me honestly, when he told me that
you got a list of things there in front of you, haven't you?
No. We
have to be diplomatic. I'll be diplomatic. I love Heathrow Airport. We got a diplomat in front of us. Let's be diplomatic.
Actually, it was funny. It's all fun and games, though. It's all fun and games. What was funny was when he told me, "Hey, our next guest is gonna be the Consulate General of Britain." I was like, "Oh, really?" I was like, "Heathrow, okay, I got you." He was like, "Oh my gosh!" But I had to bring it up.
You made me feel so bad now. Really.
No. I didn't know nothing about this. He caught
this. I'm gonna have to chase this one up. No. We're either gonna have to find these shoes, or we're gonna have to sell something. Them shoes are Compton. Buy some new ones for you.
Them shoes are Compton right now, bro.
I know. Whoever stole them, they sold it the next day because those shoes are like, there's not that many. It's like having that rare that like, there's only four cars made.
Yeah,
and you got one of them. It's like one of those shoes.
It's the new generation.
They're not mass produced.
You know, even
there's
though me and
Q,
we're not too much far apart in age.
Yeah,
but I'm just still. I guess I'm old school because I can't put on no 80,000.
Well, you see, I told you, I didn't know they were.
Yeah, they'd be at my house. You know, they stay at home somewhere.
I didn't know they were that expensive until after we got back. I told him what happened, and he was gonna like blast it on social media. I said, no. You know what? I've done a lot of bad stuff in my life. It's probably God. You know, punishing me for it.
He took it
by
on
taking,
the chin.
Taking
he took
something
it on the
that I cherish. And so I told him, oh, it's okay. I'll just buy another one. And so yes. I looked it up and I went to Farfetch and I was like, okay, let me look up the shoes. 80,000 real? I was like, post it. I was like, let's post it. And I was like, I didn't know they were 80,000 real. I was actually going
to
repurchase
but you don't have to feel bad. It has nothing to do. You know, we got to blame ourselves. Yeah. We should have known better.
Yeah.
We should have put the lock on it.
honestly, 80,000 real shoes, invest in a $10 lock, you know?
I mean,
again, in my defense, I didn't know they were that expensive. It was a gift. That's what hurts more is the fact that it's a gift, and I feel bad for the person, you know? But
sure.
Yeah. Anyways, thank you so much.
Thanks for your time.
Yeah,
for your time, brother.
Don't feel bad. It's
been a pleasure.
thank you.
I'm going to carry this for a while now.
So when you come to Riyadh, please contact us.
When you come to
Riyadh,
contact Moo and then let's meet up and let's have lunch together and let's discuss more about life.
Love to.
Thank you.
Take care.
Truly an honor. Truly honor.
Say hello to your family. Be safe. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Take care. All the best.
Yes. Yeah. So. That's the end of the show. Dang, that was good. You don't have to bring that up.
How you going to bring up this Heathrow to the British Council General, bro? You more ghetto than I thought.
If I didn't.
You more ghetto.
I know
I can't
hood.
Even say more. You more ghetto than I thought, bro.
150? I'm 150%.
145.9. No.
If I didn't, our viewers would have been like, "Wait, why did you bring up your shoes?" So I had to.
Nah, but that was good.
Yeah. Anyway, shout out to Britain.
You know,
UK.
Yeah, shout out to the UK.
Shout out to Sudan.
Sudan, we got to visit Sudan because I keep hearing about the hospitality in Sudan.
But we can't go.
Why we?
Apparently,
you can't go.
Yeah, I can't go. Well, unless you have a...
I put a Sudan in the...
Oh, okay, okay.
I'm good.
Because I was told I couldn't go. I wanted to go
Sudan
visit it
safe,
too.
But why you can't go? They on the no travel list?
No, not that. It's just you have to have like a certain... it's hard to get the visa there, apparently.
Okay.
Because my homegirl.
Even for Americans?
My homegirl, the Sudapina.
Even for Americans?
I told you, yeah.
Alhamdulillah.
Especially for Americans.
I like when Americans, we get humbled. Because we think because our passport, we can go anywhere.
We're invincible.
So
yeah.
We got to get humbled sometimes. Sudan,
shout out to
Sudan for keeping us out.
Shout out to Sudan.
For keeping us out of your country.
Shout out to my Sudapina homegirl, Janati. Shout out.
Shout out All to right. the people. Definitely. Yeah.
That was
Until
a good
next
show.
Time.
Yeah, we
Peace.
Out.